Congregation, when was the last time that any of us have ran an official foot race? For many of us, it may have been a very long time since we have done that, perhaps going all the way back to our grade school days. And now we have to be honest, and we would have to confess that, well, we might be quite out of shape. To do well in a foot race, you need to do all that you can, including being in shape and not wearing something that is heavy, and to persevere, and especially for really long races. Well, Christians, believers are actually in a race all our believing life long. It is not a foot race, but a faith race. It is the Christian race. It is the race of the calling to live Christianly to the end. Not that we compete with each other, but it is called a race because it is like a marathon. It is long. In fact, it is the longest race that we will ever run in our lives. And like a marathon, it is challenging, since we live in a sinful world. And we each have a sinful heart. And because of that, at many times, we don't race well, like these Hebrews at the moment. Running the race well is not automatic. And so with God's help, we need to do all that we can to race well, which is what should also be our great interest. That God would be glorified by us, that we would do ourselves good, and that would be a good witness in this sinful world. Well, for that, to race well, also through this new year, through 2021, we need, for one thing, to study God's Word. And so let's do that this evening from Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2 as our text, which says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." With God's help, our theme is an exhortation to race well. An exhortation to race well. And 3 points following the outline of our text. First of all, since we are surrounded by witnesses, secondly, lay aside and run with endurance. And thirdly, looking unto Jesus. Well, our text and this chapter begin with the word "wherefore." That implies that what came before that, the context, is important. And so what was the context? Well, as we know, this epistle to the Hebrews was written to the early New Testament Jewish or Hebrew Christians. And they were no longer practicing the old ceremonial religion, but rightly embraced the teachings of the apostles and how they were to live now as confessing believers in the Lord Jesus, who they recognized as the long-promised Messiah and Savior. However, those who did not recognize or believe that continued in their old ceremonial religion, and therefore there was enmity. The Christians were looked down on, they were ridiculed, they were persecuted. And they experienced frequently then the calls to deny Jesus, to go back to their old religion for the sake of the ceremonies, and hence deny Jesus. They experienced fears of persecution if they would not. They faced great pressure to comply. great pressure to essentially forsake Jesus in order to have an easier life. The author to the Hebrews, though, inspired by the Holy Spirit, warned them seriously against that and reconfirmed that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, and that faith in Jesus and demonstrated by obedience in this new way, though it could be difficult at times, was the right way. For most of the book, he argued that Jesus is the greater high priest, greater than any other high priest. He has come, and so the others are done away. And then to encourage them in their faith and their new Christian profession, their Christian race, in the face of all their difficulties, he gave a whole list of examples of Old Testament believers who had true faith and who ran their race of faith, and who did so despite being far less privileged than these New Testament people were. They could only believe in the promise or the promises of the coming Messiah who would accomplish redemption for them. But they didn't see the fulfillment of that. And yet they believed and they raced. In chapter 11, verse 13, we read, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them." And also verse 39, it says, "And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise," meaning its fulfillment in Christ's coming, "God having provided some better thing for us, that they, their number without us, should not be made perfect or complete." These believed and they ran the race of faith, even in the face of great difficulties. They persevered, and now they are in glory. Therefore, the text is saying, let us race well too, this race of the Christian faith that we are on. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also," we who have the privilege of being able to look back on the historical fact that Jesus really did come and died and rose again, and not just having to believe the promises and prophecies and types and shadows that he would come. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed," or really surrounded about, "with so great a cloud of witnesses." The imagery here is that of a Greek arena where sporting events were held. The participants were on the ground, and in the stands all around were the spectators. The participants then were surrounded by the spectators. We can also call the spectators the witnesses, as that is what they did. They witnessed to those on the ground. And this witnessing often included two parts, a passive and an active part. Passively, the witnesses observed the participants. But actively, many of them also encouraged the participants. They witnessed to them. And that is actually what this Greek word especially refers to. They shouted, they cheered, maybe they held up big signs. They witnessed to them to encourage them to keep on going, to keep trying their best, to keep racing well, to compete well in whatever the event was. While these Hebrew Christians were being exhorted to think of themselves in an arena and surrounded by many witnesses, a great crowd. It says, so great a cloud. And they were to think that these witnesses were all the Old Testament believers who have run the race before them. And they were to think of these witnesses as witnessing, as shouting to them. Chapter 11, verse 4 says, for instance, of Abel, that he, being dead, yet speaks, still shouts, still witnesses. Their Old Testament brothers and sisters in the faith were shouting by their testimonies that it is worth it, dear believer. Keep going in the way of faith and obedience. Keep going well, as best as you can. God is faithful. Race well. Keep going. Look at others. They have suffered before you, and they ended well. Race well. And believers today and here, this so great a cloud of witnesses still speaks and shouts today. In fact, this crowd has become even larger. It is true that people passively witness our lives all the time. They observe us, and that in itself should be motivation to race well. But it is also and especially true that past and present believers witness to us by their example and testimony, especially of God's faithfulness. The author to the Hebrews, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he said this to persuade those Christians to race well, and this should persuade us as well, or persuade us more, to not only be on the race, but to race well, to progress well to the end. This is also why reading these Old Testament stories are helpful. Reading your Bible is helpful. And reading New Testament stories as well. And also stories of Christians since. They're helpful to persuade us again and again to race well, even when the going gets tough and rough and when the trials come. But now, how do we do that? Racing well. What do we have to do to seek? What do we have to seek to do to race the marathon of the Christian life well, for God's glory, for our good, and as a positive and persuading witness to others? Well, this brings us to our second point. Lay aside and run with endurance. The text says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." As we dissect this, first of all, we see that it says, "Let us lay aside every weight." In an official race today, let's say at the Olympics, an athlete literally puts off weight in order to race well. He or she puts off physical weight, losing a few pounds of body mass. But at the time of the race, the athlete also puts off weight by dressing down to just lightweight sportswear. You don't see, for instance, any Olympic runners wearing heavy jeans or a coat. That would slow them down, obviously. That would hinder them. That would not enable them to perform well. The idea is that likewise we must put off as much as we can that hinders us from racing well. And what are some of these things? Well, just like these Hebrew Christians couldn't necessarily keep the taunts and the persecutions and the trials from happening, we also can't necessarily lay aside some of our circumstances or trials. It would be nice if we could. But God has ordained them for our good and for our progress as part of the set way. Those are part of the race. Suffering is part of the race. However, the things that can be laid aside that hinder us are then what is being referred to here. But notice that nothing specific is mentioned. It is just a general statement. Everything or all things of weight. Now, this generalness is realistic because these weights can be different from one person to the next. And it really requires us to examine our own lives closely to see what practical things are hindering or distracting our ability and focus to live Christianly well. Obviously, sinful things can hinder us. And that is what the next phrase talks about. But there can also be good things. Things that are not sinful, but good in themselves. They can be fine in moderation, but as the saying goes, sometimes too much of a good thing is not good. These things can be too much social media, too much work, or too much play. Too many commitments, associations, activities, interests. Too much of a good thing can hinder our Christianity. We don't have to throw all these out, although sometimes that is best for us. But we need to keep them from being a weight, a distraction, a hindrance, a discouragement, a stress. Throw them out or lower our commitment to them so they no longer distract. A good question to ask ourselves is this, or my level of commitment to this, a help or a hindrance? A help or a hindrance? Another question is our level of commitment to them hindering our commitment to daily devotions, daily Bible reading, daily prayer, focused church attendance, family worship, Christian fellowship, and being a light and witness? Other things that can weigh us down might even be the time we go to bed at night, something simple like that. Or the expectations that we have for ourselves might be too high for each day, or the expectations we have for each day, or for others even. Or being bothered too much of things we cannot change. We cannot change the world. Thinking too much about something that results in undue stress or discouragement. Or having the distorted thinking that a perfect world on this sinful earth is possible. What weighs you down? The call is to lay aside every weight. Make ourselves lighter, freer, to race well, and to keep doing that. Moving on, the text also says to lay aside the sin which so easily besets, or we can say ensnares us, the sin which so easily besets or ensnares us. Here we see that sin is emphasized. Sin also hinders, of course, but it also can ensnare or trip us. It makes one fall to the ground, just like wearing a long garment in a race can cling to us and trip us. Someone said, weights will slow us down. Sin can bring us down. And so we need to be vigilant, very careful, on guard against sins in our lives currently and in the future, and get rid of them immediately. Repent from them immediately and prayerfully, confessing them to God. Just think of David and how sin went from bad to worse so fast. It so easily tripped him up. Sin does not help us in our race, even though it can make us think that it will. Sin is deceptive. Sin can trip us and damage us and rob us of true joy and cause unnecessary grief and potentially a host of other problems as well. It especially robs our gracious God of his praise by us. And we give him rebellion instead, which thought should convict us and cause sorrow of heart. Think of what you are doing when you sin. We need to be on guard for and fight against sin. But we notice that the text specifies the sin. So this can mean whatever sin that you might struggle with from time to time. It can mean a specific, singular, particular sin. But it can also mean every sin, as we should view every sin as the sin. The sin of this, the sin of that. It could be anger, lust, covetousness, bitterness, impatience, discontentment, an unwillingness to suffer and obey. It could be pride. which also produces all those other sins, thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, or having a sense of entitlement. It could also be what we call unbelief, not fully believing the word and promises of God as true and worthy to be embraced with our whole heart and lives, which in the context seems to be what the Hebrew Christians were particularly struggling with at the time. What things or sins do you struggle with from time to time? Let us watch ourselves and lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and keep doing that. All of that so far was a negative manner of how to race. But next we have the positive manner. The text continues and says, "And let us run with patience," or endurance. We are not to go backwards. We are not to get tripped up. We are not to go at a turtle's or a snail's pace. We are to run. And run is a very good word, because running requires effort. We are to put effort in this race. We are to be willing to put some sweat in it. And running a long race especially requires patience. This is also translated as endurance. In fact, endurance is really the ability to press on suffering something patiently. And for that, we need to maintain discipline and drive and determination and focus. So we don't only need to get rid of things that weigh us down or could trip us, like sin, but in order to race well, living the Christian life well, doing what is right mile after mile, we need to be willing to endure, to persevere, to suffer what comes patiently when the temptations or the persecutions or the stresses indeed do come. Maintaining discipline, drive, determination, and focus. That is how to race well, for God's glory, our good, and the good of others, by running with patience or endurance. That is what the Hebrew Christians needed to do while they faced their taunts and persecutions. And that is what we need to do as well, and should be willing to do, because this race, though difficult, has a blessed destination. It is really a privilege. That's how we should see it. It is a privilege to be in this race. And so let us do our best. Let us perform well. By God's grace alone, we have been taken out of the broad racetrack and put on this narrow racetrack, a racetrack that leads to glory and not to hell, that leads to Jesus himself and not to eternal misery. And God has not only put us in this race by his grace, but he has also set before us, or determined for us, the course of this race for us in his wisdom. He has set it for each of us individually. And we have to remember that. Our race, our life, the things in our life are set by him. We have to remember that and trust that. Trust his wisdom. And so let us seek with all our might and with a willing and thankful and trusting heart to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. But, of course, that is easier said than done. Indeed, it is a very challenging calling. And thankfully, our salvation doesn't depend on a perfectly run race. But how can believers do these things well and better, which should be our heart's desire? It is by looking to Jesus. This brings us to our third point, looking unto Jesus. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The idea is to focus on what is waiting at the end of the race. To focus on that in order to not be distracted or tripped up, but to endure. For an athlete, the prize is waiting, or a trophy of some kind. For the Christian, it is Jesus. Jesus is waiting at the end. Not that we are saved by our running, but he is waiting at the end for us. We must focus on him. Such a beautiful picture when I think of little kids here. Think of a race for little kids. And imagine that each kid has a parent standing at the finish line. And we know kids. Kids are kids. Kids can be so easily distracted. Who knows, some might be inclined to run to the left or run to the right. There are those who would even turn around and go back to the starting line again. Kids. But knowing that their mom or dad are standing at the end, if they know that, seeing them, hearing them, they focus on them. And what do? They joyfully skip along to the embrace of their parents. Oh, they are so happy. That is what we must do. We must focus on Jesus and skip along happily to him, no matter what, to the end. We must focus on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, looking at that phrase, the author and finisher of our faith, at first glance, that double title might seem a little confusing. Because we normally speak of the Holy Spirit as the author of faith. But here Jesus is called the author and the finisher. So what does that mean? Well, there are different views on this. One is that although the Holy Spirit works faith, Jesus can still be called the author or originator or beginner, since he, along with the Father, sends out the Holy Spirit to work that faith in the hearts of sinners. Likewise, it can be said that he is the finisher or perfecter. You see, by his Spirit, not only increases and purifies faith, but will one day finish it or perfect it and us. He will complete the good work that he has begun in us. And then we will see and dwell with the object of our faith forever in glory. However, another view is to think of it this way. If there were no salvation, there could be no saving faith. If Jesus didn't begin the accomplishment and finish the accomplishment of salvation or redemption, there could be no saving faith. But since he began and finished redemption, since he began and finished his race, we can say that he is therefore the author and finisher, the founder and perfecter of our faith. For either of you, he is indeed the author and finisher of our faith, because he endured patiently and perseveringly, suffered the cross. And the cross here encapsulates all that he suffered, and especially, of course, the agony on the cross itself. And this included the hostility of sinners, as we see in verse 3. contradiction of sinners against himself. This included the hostility from Satan, and this also included the wrath of his Father. And this was all we know in order to redeem his bride, which was his joy, which was on his mind, which was set before him. There was joy in anticipating his resurrection and his ascension, but there was surely this joy as well. It is absolutely amazing. He is our joy, and we were and are his joy. You were his joy, believer, and you still are, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He didn't let it bother him. He ignored it. It meant little to him in comparison to the joy that was set before him. And having endured the cross, including dying on the cross, he then victoriously resurrected, ascended, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He began and he finished his great work of redemption, his great race, and now applies it too by the work of the Holy Spirit. Well, this is who we must look to in the Christian race. This is who we must be focused on to race well, Christianly, with endurance. Look to him, the author and the finisher of our faith. Look to him who endured the cross. Look to him who has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And there are many reasons to look to him. Look to him as an example of enduring. He despised the shame, and he focused on the joy ahead. Look to him for motivation. He endured the cross, the shame, the hostility of people and Satan, and especially his Father's wrath for a sinner like me. Motivation. Look to him also for hope and joy and strength, even in trials, knowing and believing that your future, believer, is certain because of him. Hope, joy, strength. You can even look to him for help and cry to him for help, knowing that he is able to help, being at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus must be our focus. How do we lay aside every weight? By looking unto Jesus. How do we lay aside the sin which so easily ensnares us? By looking unto Jesus. How do we run with endurance the race that is set before us? Whatever it is tomorrow or the week ahead, by looking unto Jesus. We have looked to Jesus already when we first believed and entered this race by grace. But now we not only need to keep running, but keep looking. And not too much at the things around us, behind us and in front of us, and what people think and say and do, but on Jesus. And look to him not only when you run, but also when you can't run. When you do get weighed down, when you do get hindered, when you do get ensnared by sin and trip and fall, when you can no longer endure at all, it seems, or run at all, or even take another step. Perhaps you have slowed to a crawl. You feel you're even going backwards. Still look to him. You can look to him for fresh forgiveness and for renewed strength at any time and all the time. Look to him in the morning as you anticipate the day. Look to him in the evening with all your failures of the day. Look to him in the afternoon with all the struggles of the day and run, or run again. Live Christianly. Race well. Race well with that decision. Race well with that meeting. Whatever it is, race well for God's glory, our own good, and the blessing of others. But in closing, congregation, the question isn't only are you looking, but have you ever looked to Jesus? Have you ever seen your need for that? Your need to be made right with our holy and good-doing Creator. Your need to confess to him and repent from your sins and turn to and look to and embrace and put your trust in Jesus as your only hope. Which racetrack are you on? The broad one which leads to destruction, or the narrow one which leads to life? If you are not repentant and looking to Jesus in faith for salvation, you are on the wrong racetrack, and you are living in sin. You are not right with God. You are living a life really of ungrateful rebellion, which should grieve and convict you, since it is lived in response to receiving so many blessings from God. And you must repent of that, and from that, and confess that, and turn to and look to the Lord Jesus in faith, and follow him, trusting in him and his blessed work on the cross for salvation, which is your only hope. Yes, even cry out to God for help to do that, to be reconciled to God, to be on the right racetrack that leads to life, to repent, to look to Jesus. You know, one day everyone will look to Jesus and bow to him, though in a different sense, and in vain, because then it will be too late, either at their death or at his return. Philippians 2, verse 9 says, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Do not be too late. Make today a day of salvation. I think of the Israelites in the wilderness, who were dying after being bitten by serpents. They were called to turn their heads and look at the brazen or brass serpent on the pole. And they did. And they were healed. They were saved from their affliction and from death. And in John 3, verse 14, Jesus, following up on that, said to Nicodemus, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him, who looks to him, should not perish, but have eternal life." Well, praise be to God for providing Jesus on a cross, for providing salvation. And praise be to him, too, if indeed we have repented and look to Jesus. Because we know it is only by his grace, his electing love, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And praise be to him, because then we are on the best race that leads to the best destination and to the best prize, the Lord Jesus himself. But on this blessed race, but often difficult race, let us with humble and grateful hearts be willing to daily lay aside every weight and every sin and run this race with patience or endurance, looking unto Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Great God and Father in heaven, our God of grace, Lord, we come to you the close of this service, and we thank you for your word of truth and the truth in your word. Thank you for your great patience with us and your great grace towards us. We thank you that you reveal to us the things that we need to know for our eternal well-being, for our relationship with you, And we thank you for working, or for applying those things in our hearts. And we pray that, Lord, that we would continue to look to the Lord Jesus. And we pray for those who do not look to Jesus, who have not put their trust in him, who don't see their need. Lord, we do pray that for thy power and grace in their lives as well. And to thee be all the honor and the glory and the praise. Oh Lord, we thank thee for Jesus and the race that he so willingly ran. Lord, we cannot comprehend all that he suffered, all the pains that were included along the way. Lord, but we stand amazed that for the joy that was set before him, even his bride, he so willingly persevered even to the end. Lord, we pray that that would be just a huge amount of encouragement and motivation for us. Lord, also throughout this whole year of whatever it might bring, Lord, economically or in our families or in our workplaces, Lord, help us to remember this gold nugget of a text. Lord, especially when the way gets hard. Help us to look to Jesus in good times and in bad times, in easy times and in hard times, and to not give up, to not forsake thee, or worse. Lord, we do pray that you would have mercy. Have mercy upon this congregation. Have mercy upon our country, and send revival all around the world, we pray. Forgive us our many sins, we ask in Jesus' name.